Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola.
Hello, Wendy lady.
Hello, Darren.
I just want to say that last week we ended the week on a cliffhanger. We want to find out about these disinfectant tunnels. You said you would get into that and come back to us. Is that true?
So yes, these tunnels are being marketed in the fight against the spread of COVID-19. But this is despite the fact that the World Health Organization has said that they shouldn't be used under any circumstances. Disinfectants should not be sprayed on humans. And not only are they dangerous for the mucous membranes of the eyes and the nose, etc., that they're actually ineffective because the person can emerge from the tunnel and then cough and sneeze and speak. And so the normal person-to-person transmission happens, which accounts for, it is now thought, 90% of the transmission. But there is a lot of fear, and children are going back to school and domestic workers are coming back into homes, and these tunnels are being marketed because the marketing obviously plays into the fears and plays into, you know, schools, for example, private schools wanting to reassure their, in many cases, very reluctant, afraid parents that their children are having third degrees of disinfectant and sanitizing going on. Right. So someone tweeted from NSF Africa, a global company very involved in hygiene, sanitizing issues, setting standards and the rest. And he tweeted, "I investigated the chemical used in one of these tunnels here in Somerset West. Chlorine dioxide, effective to kill virus, but only on hard surfaces. But all the health authorities are warning that one should avoid skin contact, eye contact, or contact with clothes." So, of course, I got onto him and said, "Tell me more." And he said, "If you ask any of the companies that sell the tunnels, you must ask them what chemical they are using and get the official registration, which will specify what its intended use is." So people are going around saying it's this approved and that approved. But if you dig down a little bit, says a voter being of NSF Africa, it's not enough for these companies to say that this chemical that they're using in these disinfectant tunnels or chambers or booths is approved by whatever authority sounds good, he said, because the cases he's investigated, it's not approved and not tested for application directly onto humans, right? And then, it's been a week, I got an email from a father. His child is due to return to a private school. He said, "Please can you advise me on my rights and my child's rights when it comes to sanitizing tunnels? Our school is adamant that the kids have to walk through these tunnels to gain access to the school. Not only is this troubling, but they are forced to keep their eyes open through the tunnel." No, and then he sent me the school letter, and there it was in black and white that this is what's going to happen. And
this is absurd.
It is absurd. So I ran that past voter, and he again said, "No, absolutely not. Whatever they're saying, that mist is, I can tell you now, it won't have been tested for human application." So Vota Conradi, Managing Director, Africa Operations for NSF, says, ask them what chemical they are using and the official registration number. And then you ask them for the material safety data sheet, the MSDS, which will indicate safe use requirements. In the case of this residential estate in Somerset West, he did this, and he was told that the product is registered by the Environmental Protection Agency in the USA. He took the reference on the letter and he looked up the actual registration on the EPA website and found that the product with the active ingredient, chlorine dioxide, was intended only for hard surfaces and will only be effective if left on the surface for several minutes to dry. He says it would most certainly not work on absorbent fabric materials. And it also stated, get this, it should not be allowed to come into contact with the skin or eyes or clothes. So this is a classic example of that residential estate in Somerset West of completely misdirecting the use of that disinfectant and in fact using it contrary to the manufacturer's instructions. So I've heard from quite a few manufacturers of these tunnels who've come to me and said, "But you're giving us a bad rep. We've got this approval and that approval." The thing, as Vota Conradi says, it's not enough. It's to drill down to what application was it intended for. So, and the other weird situation is you've got Caltrain trialing these booths. When I gave them the information from the World Health Authority and other scientists, they said, "Thank you for that. We'll bear it in mind. plans and considering rolling out these tunnels. But there was the Department of Transport attending, and big rah-rah, this is what we're doing to protect people. Professor Salim Abdul Karim, who we've seen on our TV screens a lot, he's the chairperson of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID-19. He's been quoted as saying, human spraying is harmful with almost no benefit. So if, good people of KZN, your child's school has erected one of these things and forcing them to go through, if you see one in a residential complex, visitors and domestic workers being forced to go through them, please do a little Googling, find our blog, and there are many other references now, and tell them that that is actually not the way to go. It has been roundly condemned and advised against by these health authorities here and globally, and really to resist it.
So I can hear a collective mind-blowing happening around the province as they hear this, because everyone's gearing up to have their domestic workers return to complexes, workers come back to work, children go back to school almost all at the same time, and everyone's looking for the absolute most safety to protect themselves and to be protected from other people. And I'm sure an argument will be made, no, but our stand is approved for human use.
Well, I gave you the advice there of what people should ask for. It'll be on the blog. Ask the exact questions and do your own homework. Yes, and then find out if anyone needs any help with that. They're welcome to email me, and I'll do the work for them via my sources. But I think it's very important for us as consumers, in all aspects of consumerism, but especially here, to know what questions to ask so that we can arm ourselves with the knowledge to make the right choices.
Yes. Perfect. All right. Stand by for your inbox to explode.
It can't get much worse, surely.
And then quickly, while I have you, Wendy, I've always thought about this. Well, not always. So the last 2 months, going on 3 months, I've thought about this. The insurance premiums on our cars. What's happening there from a consumer point of view?
Okay, so since lockdown end of March, I mean, it was that first month, and certainly until we went into level four, there was very little traffic on the roads. It was only essential stuff. And for most people, myself included, I went from using my car every day, sometimes on fairly long trips, to going to the local store once a week, if that. So it stands to reason that your risk to an insurer, the chances of you having an accident, which is the number one claim, a car accident on a motor policy, is dramatically reduced. Stats suggest 75%, okay, on average. So the question then comes, if their risk is dramatically reduced, in other words, the chances of them, the number of claims they're getting for accidents dramatically reduced, and there's evidence to support this, surely the accident component of your premium, accident theft, all the things that happen when you take your car, when you actually drive your car, should be reduced as well. And that didn't happen, certainly not to the extent that people were hoping for, and to the extent to which the statistics would suggest. So we had sort of 7%, then 10%, and 15%. In some cases, if your mileage is very low, 25%. But the company that really stood out was Naked Insurance, because in their case, they had this cover pause thing, and they had it before lockdown, but it came into its own with lockdown, so that you could pause accident cover and still be covered if your car was hailed on while it was parked and all that kind of thing, or theft out of the car. But your accident cover was on pause. And that way, people who drove very, very seldom during lockdown were saving up to 90% on their premium, okay? And boasting about it on social media, as people do. And so, to the annoyance, I'm quite sure, of the traditional car insurers, people were starting to say, well, how come I've got to be happy with a 10% reduction in premium, or 10% of my premium back the following month? And these people are getting real savings, you know, that reflect what's actually going on with their car that is parked off most of the time. And inevitably, yesterday, King Price Insurance, they had via a Microsoft Teams press conference, they launched its pay-as-you-drive fully comprehensive car product called Chili. The CEO, Gideon Galloway, said, we don't believe that many South Africans will be going back to their normal commute anytime soon. And as people are driving less every month, we don't think it makes sense that they're paying the same for their car insurance every month. So they've introduced a product that starts at 299 rand a month. If your car's not worth more than 500,000 and you drive less than 100 kilometers a month, and that'll be a very large percentage of their existing King Price insurance product. They admit that they're going to eat into, they're going to cannibalize their own policyholders, and that they will switch across to Chile. This is really interesting. I thought that lockdown has now kind of made the pay-as-you-drive business model make sense for policyholders, and now the traditional insurers are sort of thinking, well, you know, maybe we should get in on this. Maybe we should look at the same model. We're going to be losing policyholders. So, interesting trend. And then I did a quick whip round to find out, you know, the other insurers announced, you know, deals for premium reductions in April and May. Now we're in June. What's happening? And some are saying, okay, we'll extend it into June. Our insurance is now saying you have to opt in. It's not automatic anymore. You'll get a 15% reduction, but you have to go onto their digital platforms and swear that you're doing low mileage and that, and you're still working from home or whatever. So everyone's sort of tweaking and looking at things, but now's the time to make a call to your insurer. If you are doing very little mileage, if you among the hundreds of thousands of people who are going to be working from home for, you know, the foreseeable future, to make sure that the insurance you're paying for accident cover on your car, accident and theft, is mirrors that you're not overpaying. And let me tell you, if they're not highly negotiable on the premium, they should be.
So they've been saving millions because of much fewer incidents on the road.
Of course. Well, yeah, fewer cars on the road means fewer accidents and fewer claims. Fewer payouts on those claims, so it is no secret they have been saving a packet. So now's the time to get them to save us on the premiums we are paying, given that their risk is much lower.
Well, some people argue what you win on the swings, you lose on the roundabouts, because as soon as they opened bottle stores again, plenty of road incidents literally overnight.
Well, again, then that must be reassessed. In terms of, you know, obviously if you have an accident, you can forget any lower premiums because that's how insurance works. The other thing is, talking about swings and roundabouts, is I'm getting a lot of emails from people who are saying, yeah, fine, they gave us this 5%, 10%, 15%, whatever it was, reduced premium because of lockdown, but now from July my premium's going up 10%. So, you know, it's a tricky thing. They're saying, well, you know, the car parts are still have gone up in price because the rand is devalued, and so it goes. But I think the message, Darren, is not to keep quiet, to interrogate what you're paying and what your circumstances are, and make sure that you're not overpaying as a result.
Yeah. I think we're all trying to save money. There's a lot of grudge payments that have been made, and insurance is one of them, certainly if your car's just sitting in the garage. So yeah, if there's a way to save some money, go for it.
Absolutely. And just look, one of the other ways of saying, if you're really, really battling to pay your premium, is to go from comprehensive cover on your car to third-party insurance. So if you crash into someone, you're liable for your own repairs, but at least you're not having to pay the other person's. But there's a big risk. I heard from someone that did that, and exactly 2 days later, poor woman, her husband, whose car was insured on her policy, had an accident. He didn't actually hit into another car. He had an accident that didn't involve another car, and and the claim was big, and she had no cover at all, and she'd paid comprehensive insurance for years and years. So it's, you know, risk is a thing. You have to take a chance, but do so with your eyes wide open and knowing all the facts, so that you can ask the right questions and get the best deal for yourself.
Perfect. Thank you, Wendy. Don't forget that if you, if somebody in your area, your office, your townhouse complex or your school wants to stick up one of those disinfectant tunnels, know which questions to ask. All of that's up on our blog on ecr.co.za. The question obviously is to ask for the MSDS and the registration of the chemicals that are used in that. Again, all those details on the website. And Wendy Nola's inbox is open for you. Best place is her Facebook, Wendy Nola Consumer. There's an email option there. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Darren. Speak next week.